This is the Leadership and Insurance Podcast, brought to you by FinPro Search Partners.
Insurance companies are businesses and they need to look for the long term and be sustainable.
We went from 0 to 1 and now it's going from 1 to 100.
Insurance as a concept, as a kind of service, is brilliant. The execution is what we're looking at now.
I think the companies that are going to succeed are the ones that are going to understand and master the art of intent.
When we talk about innovation, we lean too heavily to think about technology and we don't think about creating a culture of innovation.
I think innovation is essentially continuous improvement of existing processes and platforms and product.
Right? It's got to be easy. It's got to be seamless.
Good morning and welcome to the Leadership and Insurance Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Blond, and I'm very excited today to have a good friend of mine from the conference circuit. We can't go anywhere without seeing each other. Melissa Collette, CEO of InsurTech UK. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? I heard you've got a bit of a broken leg there.
Yeah, although I think I've been boring everyone on LinkedIn about it by sharing x-rays. But yes, now a double leg fracture. Which no one should have any sympathy for, because I was skiing. And if you will ski, you will. I think default you're supposed to break your leg at least once. But I'm hoping that that's. I'm hoping once I've done it twice in one go, then it should be enough for now. So,
fingers crossed. You're still staying very active and positive.
Yeah, well done, Yeah, I think you saw me last hobbling around ITC London, but that's actually when I didn't know it was broken, so that wasn't too clever. Anyway, yes, I'm very good. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I can't believe, as we just discussing before recording, that we haven't done this. So I'm really excited to talk to you. But I think InsurTech UK, obviously very, very well known, probably clues in the name, but it'd be really good if you could introduce yourself and obviously what InsurTech UK is and does.
Absolutely. Pleasure. Thanks for having me. I also can't believe we haven't done this before, but... but there you are. Here we are. So it's all good. So I'm Melissa Collett. I'm CEO of InsurTech UK. InsurTech UK is the only trade association in the UK dedicated to InsurTech. So we're very proud of that fact. We have around 150 InsurTechs in our membership and around 50 partners and insurers, which is... really a testament to the growth of the sector, because when it started out, the organization started in around 2018, 2019, there was a sort of small coterie of around 30 members. And it's really grown since then. And we're hoping to grow even further.
Amazing. Well, I mean, I think high level, what's the purpose of a group like this? What's the purpose of a body like this? Because I think day to day, I think other than CEO conferences, I'm like, what's Melissa get up to? And I don't know if everyone is that clear. So like, let's lift the curtain and then let's tell us what we actually get up to.
Well, I'm a little surprised to hear that, because I think a trade association is a very well-worn concept. And insurance is chock full of trade associations. I'm sure you know the Association of British Insurers, ABI, the British Insurance Brokers Association, BIBA, and then there's also the Managing General Agents Associations, and so on and so forth. So there's lots of different associations out there, but back in around 2018, various InsurTech founders got together and they felt that there really wasn't any association representing their needs. So that's why they got together and created InsurTech UK, really to advocate for the InsurTech community. And as I mentioned, it's grown since 2018. And it does a lot more now than just advocate. It's also a place where InsurTech companies can connect with other partners, whether that's partners in the insurance value chain. So whether it's, you know, insurers, brokers, other MGAs, insurance platforms, or whether it's those who supply services to the insurtech sector. So there's lots of, you know, banks and law firms and accountancy firms, consultancy firms who are interested and do work with and really assist the insurtech community. So this it's a real meeting place, a place for connectivity, a forum for all these people to get together and do things together, because clearly, you know, our voices are much stronger together than just doing our own thing individually.
Yeah, and I was being slightly facetious about the trade bodies, but I do think for our international audience, and you know, it's not necessarily as common in different countries, and you know, but I think what's interesting about is that last piece that you just said about stronger together, because I was actually having a conversation with one of your InsurTech UK members actually yesterday, and we were talking about Agentive.
They're a new member. They've just joined.
Yeah, I know. Very new. So we were having this conversation, just getting to know each other actually, and we discussing what we do, and obviously the core business at FinPro is we're a cert firm. We help people, you know, find talent and grow. And I sat on a lot of these talent panels at these events we go to, and I'm asked about these industry wide. Oh, there's a talent problem industry wide, and there is. But also, I'm like, but why are we talking about it like we're going to solve it together? Because we're all competing with each other for this talent. We're all competing for business, and sometimes that it does need an industry-wide initiative, but we're not going to get there by just talking about it on panels. And so I think where trade bodies are particularly useful is like, what are those kind of industry-wide, sector-wide challenges that you can engage with, whether it be government or legislation or other, really, and thought leadership. That becomes particularly interesting. Obviously, you've been in the chair a while now, you know, and I wanted to talk to you about what's different in terms of kind of what your members are kind of focused on or concerned on sort of now versus when you first came into the CEO role with InsurTech UK.
Yeah, so I started in this role around September 2023. So that was over 2 years ago now. Feels like a long time, I should say, Alex. I think 1 month into my role, I think I saw you at ITC Vegas. And we had quite a nice time there. What happens there stays there and all the rest of it. only we just had fun, that's it, with a lot of other people. But look, it's a great sector. Really exciting people doing exciting things, you know, entrepreneurial, innovative, really, you know, business-minded and exciting. And future facing. So that's what attracted me to it. And I think that, you know, the issues that firms are facing are changing a little bit over time. I think that the work we did with McKinsey, for example, and back in 2023, I should say McKinsey are our principal partners, and they are, you know, everyone knows they're really excellent at doing research. So we worked with them on a state of the InsurTech in the UK report. And the report showed, you know, what are the key challenges and issues at that time? And what were the actual InsurTechs, you know, who were these InsurTechs? What were they doing? And at that time, there were a lot more, I would say, disruptive InsurTechs, you know, InsurTechs trying to compete. They were regulated as insurance entities, and they were, you know, going head to head with some existing traditional insurance players. So that was around 2 years ago. We repeated the research with McKinsey, with some slight differences, but essentially we looked at the state of the UK InsurTech in 2025, and in the report we co-produced in September, last year, we found that a lot more insurtechs, companies that would call themselves insurtechs, had pivoted away from being regulated, and they were now using a SaaS model, far, far more than before. So that's one of the key changes we've noticed. So the question that begs the question why, and we can only surmise that getting regulated is quite difficult, and getting the right permissions, and operating in that model is more difficult than otherwise. So that's kind of feeds into what we do, which is really evaluating what is the landscape that our insurtechs are operating in, the legislative landscape, the regulatory landscape, and can we do anything to kind of move the dial and make things easier for our for our members to do business in the UK. So that's really kind of what we do, fundamentally, what we're trying to do.
Yeah, it's interesting that because I've been in the insurtech space for, well, I've been in insurance for 20 years, but insurtech, when I pivoted FinPro to be, right, we're an insurtech specific search firm, firstly, there was like, well, what does that mean? That's the starting point one. But I think what it meant at that time was a lot of like a pure SaaS plays. And that those are businesses that were getting funding, a lot of that was focused on distribution. And then the thing about running a recruitment business is that you become a bit of a bellwether of what's happening in the investment market as well. So you saw this transition from software to loads of like digital insurance. So whether it be digital brokers, but more likely lots of MGA businesses. And then we're seeing a massive resurgence of working with SaaS clients again. You know, like lots and lots more SaaS businesses are coming to us looking to expand. And I think that reflects very much the health of the insurtech investment market. But I think what was interesting was the, and I wondered if you'd noticed this, that tension between investors investing in insurtechs, looking for that kind of VC-backed growth, but they were investing in MGAs, and it just doesn't, it's quite difficult to scale at that kind of investor-backed, VC-backed velocity if you're going to build an insurance business. Is that something that you've come across?
Yeah, I think that what you're saying is really echoing our experience. I mean, I as I mentioned, I wasn't involved early on, back in 2018, 2019, when you were talking about it. But I think that insurance is a long game. So it's been a long game, and you have to build it up over time, especially if you're dealing with retail customers. That's a real challenge to establish your brand and your if you're creating something innovative. It takes a while to get that customer base. So I think that's why we see very few insurtechs in the retail space, actually B2C, as well. Whereas as I said initially, that was very exciting to see all these new startup in insurance companies, trying to do business with quite a digitally sophisticated market in the UK. But it just takes that much longer to get traction, and I think that's less attractive for investors.
It's interesting the US, sorry, we do a lot of work in the US and the UK versus the US, particularly on the personal line side. So it's much more advanced in terms of digital native behavior. Like, even things like comparison sites. I don't think anyone buys their insurance direct, certainly on a personal lines wise, or very few. And it surprised me how the US is kind of behind on that. And that's been a kind of evolution. But I mean, let's talk about that, where the UK is leading, because the UK is a leader in insurtech. It's still doing that thing in insurance where it's punching above its weight. Why do you think that is? I suppose that's, we'll start there. Like, why do you think we're managing to punch above our weight in a, which in a very small, relatively speaking, number of people, landmass, etc. But I wonder what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great question, and I'd like to share a few stats around that. the UK insurtech sector in terms of unicorns is second only to Silicon Valley. It has, the UK has the highest number of insurtechs per capita in the world. And the UK is second only to the US in terms of insurtech investment. And these are all stats that we, you know, are validated by the research we've done with McKinsey. So I think that it shows a really healthy sector and a really promising one. And that's the case what we continually try to make to government and decision makers, you know, saying that if you can get behind us, this sector is worth over 20 billion to the UK economy. So it's you know, it's got incredible potential. Why has it done so well? I think the sophistication of the UK customer, consumer is one part of it, one factor. As you said, you know, in the US, things are far more, you know, not digital, as it were, in insurance terms. I think that obviously insurance has a very longstanding pedigree in the UK, and we've got, you know, Lloyd's and the London market, and so we've got all of that right on our doorstep, a really sophisticated insurance scene. I think that geographically it helps to be in London as well. So if you're doing global business, you're right at the center of sort of, you know, one time zone on the Western hemisphere and the other time zone on the Eastern side. So you kind of can do business there. And I think London is, if we're talking about talent and skills, it is a mecca for people coming and bringing their, you know, for international talent. I think that, again, our research showed that the UK insurtech scene is hugely international and much more so than the traditional insurance sector.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think where it's interesting when you look at the other side of the pond in the US, it's like, you know, obviously an enormous insurance economy, but it still feels like they might lead us on tech. And then the insurance piece is whereas we've got that, you know, our insurance economy is arguably the best insurance economy in the world, and you know, in terms of kind of talent, and that's why I'm just talking about talent before anyone gets upset and starts throwing numbers at size and scale. I'm aware of size and scale, but you know, and the diversity of that talent is very concentrated, particularly in London. What are the specific challenges, you know, that are sort of holding us back? Is there anything that you're working on specifically to kind of really support growth, particularly maybe the UK companies that are looking to expand into other territories, whether it be the US or other?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, look, you identified earlier, the UK itself as a market is, you know, it's limited in size. It's much smaller than the US market, although some would argue, you know, the US is divided into states, and so there's lots of different markets. But just looking at it as a whole, you know, if UK companies start up here, they do, you know, very well to start up, but that what they struggle with is scaling up. And that's not exclusive to insurtech, but it's actually tech across the board. It's a recognized issue, and an issue that, you know, us along with other trade bodies are trying to address. And the government knows about this issue too, and they're trying to address it. And we can talk about that further. But I think that the way that companies tend to scale up is to go overseas. So, you know, they have to. If they have to go overseas, it seems, that's what they say to us, to get the investment that they need, to get the customers that they need to grow. And a lot of times they are looking west to the US, and a lot of our members, you know, do go west. And some of them leave the UK altogether, which is not a good thing. But some manage to keep a headquarters here and expand in the US successfully. So there's a whole mixture of things. Others are looking at the European market, and they, like I could give you an example of LACA, who are founding members, and they're doing extremely well I expanding into different countries in Europe with their very innovative bike insurance model. So, there's different directions of travel. On the other hand, there are lots of companies, from all over the world coming into the UK to expand. So maybe they're from smaller countries with a smaller market like Australia. They're coming into the UK in droves, and we have lots of members who started out in Australia. A company like Ivari, company like Autograb, they're coming here to expand. So it sort of swings and roundabouts, as they say, and it is that hub.
Yeah, it is the hub. We know the Inari team very, very well, and yeah, it's interesting how the UK has such a significance there as well, like companies coming in. And we even see that with US companies, that they don't really feel like they can have an insurance play unless they're here, particularly if they're doing like specialty line P&C, whatever that version is. But you're right, I think one of the challenges and sad things that I do see, or things we need to sort of deal with as a UK economy, is we do see UK businesses doing exceptionally well, but if they want the valuation that they want on exit, or they want to IPO, they are, and some of this we get to do as work. So we will be told to build a leadership base in the US with a view to basically moving the HQ over, because it becomes a more valuable business. And that's a concern, because then that becomes a US success story when really it's a UK success story. And that is a challenge there. How have your members fared going into the US? I wondered if there's any sort of, because I think that's something that'd be really relevant to a lot of the audience. I think a lot of them are sort of startup founders. A lot of them will be looking to the US. Are there any kind of themes of specific challenges that you've found that people have, particular hurdles people come across? Or is it, I don't know, I might just be individual stories on case-by-case basis, but I wondered if there's any themes there.
I think that look, it's well, you've got the experience of doing this yourself, Alex, trying to go to the US and build a business there while keeping a business going in the UK. I mean, that's just geographically challenging. And then, to discover that, you've got to get separately regulated across all the different 50 states, that's another challenge. We try and help our companies with that. We have really good links into the US. I'd like to highlight, the particular relationship we have with the state of Connecticut. We have something called the UK Connecticut Corridor, which is designed to help UK companies who want to enter the US market to have a soft landing in the state of Connecticut, where they can get help with, everything from setting up an office to hiring staff to, dealing with the regulator and getting some incentives as along the way as well to set up there. So, and Hartford is self-styled the insurance capital of the world. Did you know? And it's not far off the mark. Obviously, we think London is the capital, but it has, I think, the highest number of in insurance headquarters in the US of A. So that's a really good place for a UK insurtech to kind of start their journey in the US. So we're very positive about encouraging and helping where we can. The other thing that we do is sort of from the other way around. We have a UK Australia insurance pathway. Sorry, I should say insurtech pathway. Similar in that we and this is all supported by the UK government, which is designed to help insurtechs who want to enter both of those markets to do so. And that was set up last year. So I think, there's more to do in this space, but I think, these initiatives, I think are welcome by our members. And we you know, we do try to work with the UK Department for Business and Trade on helping our members when they go to conferences abroad. You know, we had in when I saw you at ITC, we had a delegation of companies supported by the UK government to you know, to help them with their ambitions in the US. So these are some of the things that we do to help our members.
Yeah, and I think those initiatives are super important. I mean, even from a just shared experience perspective, and you know, as you rightly said, yeah, I mean, I stumbled into the US, and you know, really was making up as I went along, and I got most of it wrong, which is quite funny. But yeah, that, I mean, that expansion is incredibly difficult, and I'm always blown away sometimes just on, you know, someone saying, oh, we want to make our first US hire, and I say, okay, what EOR or what employer of record are you using? And then someone says, oh, what's an employer of record? And I'm like, okay, you've got some learning to do. So
got some work to do there. Yeah,
exactly. But I think you know, I think people looking to expand in the US, I think that's where bodies like InsurTech UK is so important, because you will have access to not just yourself and your team that can guide them in the right direction. The reality is you will be near someone that's done this before. And, you know, it's better for someone else to have made the mistakes and you learn from them and not, you know, triple down on them than do them yourself. Because that sadly is where the expansion, you know, needs to happen. It probably is going overseas. And as you rightly pointed out, I mean, that's what's happened to our business. I mean, FinPro is five times the size it was in terms of kind of revenue, and most of that is because we've pointed ourselves in the US, and we've done that very deliberately. And I think everyone knows that because the size and scale of the market. I'm conscious of time, but I'm also conscious that we're only just into a new year, despite me having like a crazy January, injuries and all sorts of things. It feels like it's a year's about 6 months long already, but. What are you up to this year? What can people look for from InsurTech UK? Are there any specific initiatives, or is it just pushing ahead with more of these kind of partnerships and pathways that you can help forge for your community?
Yeah, thanks, Alex. I think that it was very interesting listening to your previous guest from InsurTech New York recently. So you know, we're all part of the Global InsurTech Alliance, which is a group of InsurTech associations from around the world. And you know, we do stay in touch, and you know, we do have good connections with a lot of different countries through these associations. But each one's different, you see. So the difference between us and InsurTech New York is we're a nonprofit, so we, you know, we're not a commercial entity in the sense, you know, everything that we collect from our members, we give back to our members in services and benefits. So, you know, nobody, there's no shareholders here. So it's all about community, and I think that's one thing that maybe people, perhaps, don't understand about us. And you know, that makes it possible for us to talk to the government, because we've got no commercial, you know, axe to grind. We are purely representing our members' interests. And I think that's really important and very special as well. And I think that if anybody is listening and they are doing business in the UK or based in the UK and they're not a member of the community, I would say, well, you know, do you want the community to thrive? If you do, you know, it's bigger than just you. And I think, you know, think about joining. I mean, there's tons of benefits to joining, but it's even if you don't, you know, dip your toe in all of our events and things we lay on for our members, it's still important to be part of the community and contribute towards it. In order to help it to thrive. So I think there's a kind of element there that perhaps people, maybe that's the thing that people don't understand or understand the least. But in terms of the exciting things we have planned this year, we're hosting our very first parliamentary reception this May. at the House of Lords and kindly hosted by Lord Hunt. And so, you know, we're going to bring together some of the key government decision makers with our InsurTech, so, you know, you can mingle. And I think people, again, you know, they maybe underestimate the importance of advocacy. But when you need something, you need to have access to a key decision maker. I can give you an example of, you know, we helped one of our InsurTechs who was waiting months and months for authorization from the FCA. It was really harming his business. But because we knew the people involved, we were able to connect him with the right person, and he was authorized shortly afterwards. So, you know, that's not about, you know, pulling a string. That's just about, you know, just having the right connections to connect people. And that's really what we're all about, the connectivity of the community. In terms of other exciting events, we also have our global accelerator program in April. And maybe you'd like to come along and present to that, Alex. We could talk about that afterwards. We're bringing together around 15 startups from all around the world to come to London to experience our accelerator program. And lots more besides, lots of pitching events, getting investors and InsurTechs in a room together, partnership, lots and lots of fun things. So if you're interested in joining us, please check out our website, InsurTechUK.org.
Amazing. And listen, I'll always shamelessly talk at anything, so I'm always happy to talk about that. But look, I love what you do. I think it's really important. I think the nonprofit bit people forget about. You know, and I was having this conversation with the gentleman yesterday. I was saying, oh, I've got a podcast, and I can connect you to investors, and they were saying, oh, perhaps you can give me a sheet of the commercials for that, and I was like, No, I don't charge for any of that. And again, what do you mean? They went, no, I've got a recruitment business. So, like, if you recruit and I help you, then I'll be a bit upset if you don't work with me on that side. But we do these things for free. And I think that is the misunderstanding sometimes of things like InsurTech UK. It's like, I know it's not free to be a member, but what I'm saying is once you're within it, it is being part of a community. It is this kind of like essentially people trying to help each other out, connect. And also venture businesses are lonely businesses. You know, starting a business is a lonely endeavor. So if nothing else, being part of that community is really, really important. Melissa, thank you so much for your time. I knew this would be a fun conversation. Can't believe it's taken 2 and a bit years to get together. So we'll have to record another one within a certain amount of time. But thank you for being a guest on the podcast.
Thank you, Alex.
All right. Thank you. Bye.